today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
How easily you stumbled or sniffled because of fear. What will you not do? Because I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid to go say something to that person. They look mean. What if they say no? What are you afraid of? See, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, fear goes away. You're able to overcome fear. Fear is overcome by faith. We have to keep our eyes on Him.
Deeper and deeper.
Is something that we all face. Pastor Troy shares with us what the root cause of fear is today. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, fear begins to set in. We'll learn today that in order to combat fear in our lives, we need to place our faith in Jesus completely. Look to Him, and fear will flee. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew and let's join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, If I Keep My Eyes on Jesus.
How easily you stumbled or sniffled because of fear. What will you not do? Because I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid to go say something to that person. They look mean. What if they say no? What are you afraid of? See, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, like they were able to keep their eyes on Jesus, fear goes away. You're able to overcome fear. Fear is overcome by faith. We have to keep our eyes on Him. Faith is not claiming something. I claim this. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Lord, give me, give me, give me. That is a spoiled person. That's what that is. I want what I want. I want this, Lord Jesus, and I claim it in your name. That's being spoiled. We see it in kids, right? I want this, mommy. I want it. I want it. I want it. We tell them, don't do that. That's like a spoiled brat. And then adults will turn, I want it, Jesus. I claim it. I want it. I want it. What are you? You're doing the same exact thing. That's not faith. Faith is fixing your eyes on Jesus and where He is, wanting to be there, though it costs you everything. Though you may risk everything. It's important to know that Jesus is leading. That's why prayer is so important. Chuck Smith used to say, I don't want to direct the Holy Spirit. I just want to find out what He's doing and get on with that. Get on board with that. I want to follow Him because what God wants to do, that's what gets done. There are storms that come our way as a result of being in God's will. And there are storms that come our way as a result of the consequences of our choices and our sin. Unfortunately, the storms that come our way as the consequences of our choices and our sin also affect others. Exhibit A, Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh and preach. Maybe he didn't like the Ninevites. He surely didn't like them. But for whatever reason, ultimately, he ran the other way. I'm going to run from God. So he ran. He got on the ship and he's sailing the opposite direction. And a storm comes. And not only did this storm rain and pour and thunder and fear give fear to Jonah, but also those on board. And they serve different gods and they're trying to figure out which God can help them. What's your God? Who's your God? You know, what God can stop this? And Jonah finally said, that's me. I serve the one true and living God and I'm running from Him. And basically said, if I do the right thing, this storm will stop. Or if you guys get rid of me and force me to do the right thing or kill me, then the storm will stop. See, God, whichever storm you may find yourself in today, whether I'm following the Lord and the storms are coming, or I've created this storm myself through disobedience and bad choices, whatever storm you find yourself in, here's the good news. God will still be with you in it. Now, one requires faith to continue to walk and to continue to follow Him. The other requires faith to repent. Without repentance, turning from the wrong things, not just saying, sorry for them, Lord, sorry for it, but I'm going to keep doing it. Turning from them. Then God is more than willing to walk with you. He never stands on the shore going, oh, you got yourself into that one. I'm over here at the shore. Come on. No, He walks on the water. And in many cases, if you look to Him, you'll be walking on the water too. I've seen so many. Their lives are changed because they get their eyes on Jesus. And what seem to be impossible circumstances to walk through, they find themselves coming through in sometimes miraculous ways. God will be with you. We need to have faith. Peter saw Jesus and he forgot about the storm. Think about it. Not too long ago, Peter's worried with everyone else about the waves crashing and everything. Will we sink? And now all of a sudden he says, hey, command me to walk on the water. What transformation? What happened? Getting his eyes on Jesus. It reminds me of the story of the little girl in a swimming pool. She had her little floaties on. She could touch the bottom, you know, kind of bob and have fun. And Dad decided he'd go out and start swimming a little bit in the deep end, 10, 12 feet. So he's out there swimming. And though she was having fun, she saw her dad over there. And she thought, Dad, I want to go where you're at. I'm worried. I'm afraid over here. I said, but you can touch the ground. I know, but I want to be with you. I feel safer with you. Even though the water's over her head, she still feels safer with Him. That ought to be the mindset of a Christian. Rather than saying, I like Christianity. Oh, it's so fun. We got our little faith out, get our toes wet. Oh, faith. Oh, the water's cool. Rather, we should be willing to go to the deep end, knowing that even though I can't touch the bottom, even though I don't know how to sustain myself in this situation, even though I can't make this happen, I can't do this. But I know one thing. I know I'm with the Lord. That should be the thing that drives us. Too many are driven by the things of the world. I want successes. I want these things. Jesus is swimming over here in the deep end, but you're over here holding onto the wall, kicking and floating and got your little floaties on. And God wants to do so much more. And you're actually safer not holding onto the wall where it seems safe, not even touching the bottom, but being where He is. We want to be with Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, and this is a chapter that introduces and talks about those who overcame by faith. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You fix your eyes on Him and everything else seems to fade away. Like that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His fun, wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, less important in the light of His glory and grace. You overcome fear when you keep your eyes on Jesus. And look what happened for Peter. Verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. So he said, come. He didn't throw a curse. He didn't, you know, wait 10 years and say, well, let's get everything. Let's prepare you for this. He said, come now. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly You are the Son of God. You know, when we go through trials like this, when we get through to the other side and you do it by holding on to Jesus, you know what you always say at the end of it? You're awesome. You are God. You are the Son of God. It happens every time. It happened for them. It'll happen for you. It's amazing to go, you know what you're doing, Lord. I denied myself. Everything in me was afraid. Everything said to do this. But I went and I did it your way. And it's so awesome. Why don't I do that every time? I don't know. But 5 days later, you're going to find yourself not trusting Him again. I don't know why. But we're trusting us again. We think we know better. When really, we just need to trust in God. You'll recognize His power, His authority, and because you recognize those things, you'll be willing to follow His commands. In fact, you'll realize you need to wait for His commands. Like Peter. Peter didn't just say, oh, it's Jesus. He's walking on the water. Well, let's go. He said, Lord, command that I come to you. Give the permission. Make the way possible. If Jesus hadn't said anything, Peter's not walking on the water. But He says, come. So important that we understand Jesus is the one leading. If you will fix your eyes on Jesus, you will begin to walk by faith in what He says, walking and following Him where He is. You'll do amazing things that are outside of your character and outside of your comfort zone, and some of us outside of your box. Some of us have our lives real nice, neat, and orderly. And He'll also, yes, it takes great faith, but He will take us out of our box. I'm one of the box guys. It's nice in here. Hold on to the wall. Kicking. Hey, same feel. This is nice. You know, it's great. Let go of the wall. Woo-hoo! There you go. I'm safe. I like the box. But there are times God brings you outside the box. Like, that can't be the Lord. Why? Because it makes no sense. Exactly. For us box thinkers, sometimes He doesn't make a lot of sense. We need to walk by faith and trust Him. But it is important to know that God is leading. Our faith is in Him. Peter walked on water because he looked to Jesus. He overcame the storm until he got his eyes off of Jesus. He started to sink when his eyes got off Jesus. Paul, the apostle, he did things outside of his box, too. He was striving to do great things for Judaism and for the Jewish nation as a religious leader. And he ended up giving up all of that. And when he fixed his eyes on Jesus, guess what? It took him away from all of that. And he began to minister, take a few beatings. Knew trouble was ahead at times, knew the storms were coming, but he also ministered to a group of people he used to hate, the Gentiles. Everything he did said that Gentiles were nothing. They were lost. They were going to be like kindling fire or kindling logs for the fires of hell. And now he has a heart for them. In fact, he's sent to them by the will of God, and he's taken some of his pummelings because he's ministering to them. And that's a man who's got his eyes on Jesus. So you're not really convincing me to follow Jesus with all these beatings and stuff. Well, not everyone is going to endure these things. However, Paul would tell you, and anyone who's ever been martyred or died for the cause of Christ, they will tell you it's worth it. Because they are standing before Him now, having fulfilled their will. And they'll say, there was nothing that I gave up on earth, that I sacrificed on earth, that wasn't worth it. In fact, I wish I'd have given more of myself to the Lord. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus today? Obviously, we're not getting in boats and looking out in the storm for someone walking on the water who will say, come. So how do we practically keep our eyes on Jesus? Well, first, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to read your Word. It is what reveals Him to us. It's how we get to know Him. Many people have many ideas. Hey, let's go back to the garden scenario. I know what's right for me. I know what's right. I know what Jesus would say. I know. Look, until you know your Bibles, you're going to be very confused by what everyone says would be and wouldn't be tolerable and what's Jesus and what isn't. You need to know your Bible because it teaches you who He is. So read the Scriptures. We are spiritual beings. And there's a principle that says what you feed will grow. Hey, you feed your teenagers, oh, pew, they grow, right? Some of them like bottomless pits. They're really growing. But if you feed your spirit, then you'll grow spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to feed the spirit. But if you feed your flesh, your fleshly cravings, and I'm not just talking about food, I'm talking about your desire for success. You're driven for success. And reading books about success. And if you feed that portion of you, that's the portion that's going to be the most alive. If you lust and you feed the lust, that's the part, I can't beat it. You keep feeding it. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. But if you feed the spirit, then it will grow stronger. You will become more spiritual. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For who or whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What do you mean God is not mocked? Well, because so many sow to the flesh and then pray for God to do all of the spirit stuff. Lord, help me to grow in knowledge. Lord, give me the gift of this and give me the gift. Use me, Lord, while I'm sowing to the flesh. That's mocking God. You want to produce a harvest? You want to grow in your faith? Then sow, because God is not mocked. What you sow, that you will reap. So sow to the Spirit. Take in His Word. If Peter doesn't respond to Jesus' word, he doesn't walk on the water. And so more than just reading the word, you've got to respond to the word. James, in James chapter 1, said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This one. You know what a mirror is for, right? A mirror is usually to check us, to see if there's something wrong. So you look in the mirror to see if there's something that needs to be adjusted. And usually there is something that can be adjusted. I know there are some, they look in the mirror and they think, I thought it was just to show me how awesome I was. That's not what it's there for. There's something to be fixed. But you look in the mirror and you find the things that are wrong. The Bible, the Word of God, is like that mirror. It tells you some things that are wrong. Did you know that? Did you know that? Because I've been told that really I should not talk about sin. I should not talk about negative things. Only positive, encouraging, uplifting things. But did you know when you get in the Word of God, it actually exposes some things in you that aren't good, that really do need to be changed? In fact, they're, well, sin. Oh, you didn't hear? Sin. They're sin. We talk about sin here because the Bible does. They're things that cause us to follow the course of this world. And the Bible brings those things to life. And yeah, they're kind of offensive. And trust me, as a pastor, as a messenger, a carrier of the gospel, I hate offending. I hate bringing truth to somebody that I know is going to offend. I wish Jesus would just show up everywhere and just from the pulpit teach. He'd do a much better job. I wouldn't have to be the messenger. And neither would you. But that is the call that we have, right? It's just the truth. And all we do is bear it. But we need to bear it in love. And we need to respond to the truth. If people don't get the truth, they don't change. For instance, debt is a problem. You know, it's not the way, it's like normal now, but debt is not the way we're supposed to live. I understand the price of homes. Got to take out a loan. I mean, very few are going to walk up with their wallet and pull out the cash for their home. So we have a loan, something we can afford in a home. Vehicles, I don't know what to say about that. I walked in there and they're starting to cost more than my house. So I'm thinking next time I'm just going to get a nice vehicle and live in it. Get rid of our house. I can take that thing anywhere except for gas prices. So actually maybe it is cheaper to have a house. But things are going up. And there are times we need to take out a loan if necessary for those essential things. But I'm not talking about that as much as I am talking about living on credit cards and living in debt. Saying that God has blessed you with stuff that really Visa and MasterCard and everyone else really blessed you with, that you still have to pay and you didn't have the money to pay. God blessed me with this. Oh man, where'd the money come from? A credit card. What? Well, do you have the money for it? No, I'm just trusting God for it. You know, and the world looks at us and they hate the word faith. Because our faith to them means I want money and I may or may not be able to pay you back. But God bless you. That's what they see. That's why the institutions don't like to lend to churches. Did you know that? The church has a bad reputation. It's that faith. That's not the faith we're to walk in. Blind, I hope God does it kind of faith. So we need to read the word. We need to respond the word, doing things the right way. And then we also need to resist the world. Resist the world. Why did Peter sink? Well, he took his eyes off Jesus. And when you take your eyes off Jesus, guess what? You don't go blind all of a sudden. You're going to fix your eyes somewhere else. They're going to be put on something. Some people say, well, I don't want to be all about Jesus. Everything Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, okay. Where are you going to put your eyes otherwise? Because if you're taking your eyes and you're putting on lustful things and spending all of your time doing that, or you're looking and shopping online for all kind of things that you can't afford and you're doing that, I think it's better just be all Jesus all the time. Be in the Word, serve the Lord. I mean, do those things that will keep you out of trouble. Fix your eyes on Him, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Because the other stuff, if it just gets you in trouble and keeps you from being close to Him, keeps you from being in the deep with Him, what good are they? So we need to resist the world. Temptations will consume you if your eyes are on them. You can't overcome them. But greater is He who is in me. Yeah, but you keep looking at them. You keep staring. You keep thinking. You keep gravitating. You're sowing to the flesh. But greater is He who is in me. Then get your eyes on Jesus. Problems will overwhelm you if you keep your eyes on them. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, though, you'll overcome these things. And you'll find yourself walking by faith. As a result, you'll find yourself in places where, listen, this is important, you are no longer the needy one, the one everyone's having to minister to. You will actually become a person people are looking to for help. You will become somebody who is ministering to others right alongside Jesus. That's what happens with the disciples after they get through this episode. In verse 34, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized Him, they sent out into all that region, the surrounding region, brought to Him all who were sick, and begged Him that they should or might only touch the hem of His garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. When you get through the storms, you are equipped to serve with Jesus. People will say, can Jesus do this? And you'll say, yes, He can. How do you know? You should have seen the storm He got us through. He walked on the water for us. He did. This is what happened. And it unfolded. And you will be an encourager, an overcomer.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. I want to know You more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to the church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.